Deuteronomy chapter 31. When I was asked to preach tonight, I often struggle with what to preach because it's my desire to help those that would be listening, whether here or at home. But yet my heart also needs help. When I look at all of the chaos and confusion that's in our world today and trying to think of what the answer could be or how to help someone, it's a daunting task, but God is able. My mind first came to this passage and this thought. And we want to read a little bit here in Deuteronomy chapter 31. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 1, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day." So it's his birthday. He's 120. "I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." The context of Deuteronomy chapter 31 is the story starting where the children of Israel have finally come to the point where they can take the promised land. They've heard about it their whole lives. Their grandparents have heard about it for their lives. It's been a generational story, but it's never come to pass. And they've come to this crossroads of, what do we do now? Where do we go? Who will lead us? In these first verses, Moses is saying, I'm 120. I can't go out and I can't come in. And I'm sure that in the children of Israel's eyes that there is a lot of uncertainty, much like there is today in our society. There's a question of who will lead them. What's going to happen once they find their leader? What are they going to find? Where will they live? Are they going to win? Are they going to lose? There are all these questions going about. And Moses comes to them with the words of the Lord and to Joshua. And these are the words that he spake to them. He said, to be strong and of a good courage and fear not. And I think there could be no better words spoken to us today for the time in which we are living. There is so much uncertainty in our world. We don't know, especially with all of this pandemic and the virus, and the rules have changed. And we don't know if they're going to change back or if they're going to stay the same. We don't know if we're going to have to continue to do the mandates and all of this. We don't know if it's going to end. If it does, when will it end? When can things go back to normal? Who's going to lead us? We have an election coming up. There's uncertainty there. And I think we might find ourselves in a very similar situation as these children of Israel, as we are at a crossroads, at a turning point. And I think that these words could be of a help to us. And this is, and the same charge that was good for Joshua and for the children of Israel is, I think, is good enough for us today. So I'd like to take a few moments to look at that. And the first thing that he tells them is to be strong. Yeah. Is to be strong. And church, that's what I want to say to you tonight. I want you to be strong. Those that you may be at home, I want you to be strong. Be strong. 32 times in our Bible we find the words, that phrase, be strong. And I think it's an imperative thing to say today, especially because we have a generation that's full of weak Christianity. We have weak Christians, we have weak families, we have weak churches. And then when something like a pandemic comes along, then we find out how weak we really are and how strong we weren't. And so in order for us to get through this, I want to say, Sweet Springs Baptist Church, be strong. Be strong. And turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 10. We'll say, Benjamin, I don't know how to be strong. It's easy for you to say just be strong, but how do you do that? We'll turn to Daniel chapter 10. I want to give you four things that I found that can help us to be strong in these uncertain times, these unknowing times, these confusing times. How do we be strong? Daniel chapter 10 and verse 18. The Bible says, there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. How can we be strong? Well, I don't claim to have any kind of great knowledge or deep thoughts here, so they're going to be fairly simple and rudimentary. But the first way I see to be strong is just through good conversation. Daniel said that in the context of this verse, Daniel has seen a vision of the end times and how terrible and great the wrath of the Lord is, and it has weakened him. He can no longer stand. He has no strength left in him. And so what happens? Somebody just comes and talks to him. And I don't know what he said to him exactly, but Daniel said, thy words have strengthened me. From what it looks like, he just said unto him, be strong. And I'm telling you that there is a lack of importance placed on godly communication, good conversations, having good friends, the kind of words we speak. And I'm telling you, our church is known throughout the country for being a friendly church, and I'm glad of that. I'm appreciative of that, and it's hard right now to do that in church. You know, we're told we're not supposed to shake hands. We can't go up to people and greet them as we normally would. Well, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to try to reach out to someone and say, "Hey, we're praying for you. We love you," because you can't see them where you normally would see them. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, you got to find other ways to do that. It might not be the traditional way of seeing them at church, say, hey, I heard about what happened to you or what happened in your family, but I'm praying for you. There are other ways to do that. We communicate by Facebook and text message for a lot of worse reasons. And I'm just saying that conversation, good, godly conversation, encouraging conversation, can help you in your Christian life to be strong. To be strong. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. He said his word strengthened him. Not just conversation, but preaching can help you. That's another kind of words, amen. Part of my job is to listen to sermons over and over again to upload and on the radio broadcast that we have. And I hear pastor sermons probably 3 or 4 times before I don't have to hear them again. And I'm telling you, that does something to you. You hear enough preaching over and over again, that'll help you. And that'll help you to be strong. And those of you that may be at home tonight, you can't be here to hear Pastor preach or be in Sunday school if we have it, but you can still do what you can do to be strong and listen to the words of God that would strengthen you as they did Daniel. Words can strengthen. They can tear down, but they can strengthen. Deuteronomy chapter 11. What's another way that we... How can we be strong? Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. What's another way we can be strong? It's through this word right here. You look at being strong through the human anatomy for a second. I don't know how many bodybuilders or gym rats we have in here tonight, but if you're around these kind of people at all, you hear one thing that's over and over, and it's not just pumping iron and doing exercise. It's nutrition. They talk about it all the time. BCAAs and protein. Chicken breast and broccoli over and over and over again. Why? Because what you put in is going to come out and help you. And when I think of being strong in light of the human anatomy and what we can do, that this the word, the Bible, that's our nourishment. This is our nutrition. The Bible says that it's milk, protein. It's meat, protein. It's honey. It's little sweetness to get it down. It's your bread. There you are, carb people. This is your nutrition. And I'm telling you, church, if we want to be strong, if we want our families to be strong, if we want our children to be strong, if we want our church to be strong, we got to have the right nutrition. We got to put the right things in so we can get it out. And I'm afraid that during this time when it's so hard for people to come to church and it's so hard for people to do right, I'm afraid that they're not getting the right nutrition because they're taking in all of the chips and the soft drinks and the garbage that the world is feeding them through social media, through television, through the news. And no wonder our churches are weak. We're not getting the right nutrition in our Christian life. And I'm telling you that this will help you to be strong. Turn to Ezra chapter 9. How can we be strong? Through conversation, through words, they build up. Through the Word of God. Ezra chapter 9. And verse 12, the Bible says, "Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever." How do we be strong? You got to have the right kind of relationships. You got to have the right kind of relationships. And I know in this verse it mentions the husband and wife relationship, and it's a vital important thing to have the right relationships. But I'm talking about more than just who you marry. People have all kinds of relationships that may not be healthy for them and may cause them to be weak. It might be a personal friend. It could be a social media friend that they've never met, and they think it's like this, and they try to influence them the wrong way, and then just before they know it, they're just as weak as water because their relationships were poor. And I'm telling you, you better watch your relationships. How do you get good relationships? Well, I can think of no better place than Sweet Springs Baptist Church. I can think of no better place than Sweet Springs Baptist Church. This is a place where my people are. My friends are here. The closest people in my life are a part of this church. If they're not in this state, they're part of somewhere else church that I go to if I'm out of town. But I'm saying the church defines who I'm with. And that helps me to be stronger. And it helps the people in this church to be stronger. I may not be the kind of person I'm always supposed to be, but I'm telling you, if I'm in this place, I can pretty much count on the fact that I'm going to have a good relationship with someone. I might not like everything about them, but it's going to be better than the alternative. I've worked in the workplace. I know what it's like. I know what they ask you to do. I know how they ask you to talk. Those are not the kind of relationships that we need for our church to be strong and to come out on top of all this mess to be strong Christians. You say it's hard. We can't even go to church right now. Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of people are going to the post office. They're going to the bank. They're going to Walmart. And look, if you're high risk, you need to stay at home. And if you need to stay at home, you do what you have to do. But I'm telling you, a lot of people aren't afraid to go to school. But when it comes to church, it's a little dangerous. We're seeing that out in California. You can't go to church, but you can go to public college. I'm just saying that this place will help you to be strong. This book will help you to be strong. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 4, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, how can we be strong? We got to work. We got to work. We got an opportunity this weekend to work. It's not hard work, necessarily. Some of you men in here can show us what hard work is, but to some of us, it might be a little hard to stand out there in the middle of the day for an hour. And you get an opportunity to work this weekend for Jesus. Amen. You get a little opportunity to pump a little iron for God. And I'm telling you that if you want to be strong, you got to work. I don't know how many of you have ever had a gym membership or not. I have. And I tell you what I observed is you'd see some huge dude. I mean, muscles coming out of places you didn't know muscles existed. They got a bar, and they got this many weights on the one side, and they got this many weights on the other side. And they're pumping that iron. And sometimes they would. Why is their face so red? And why are they screaming? And why are they wincing? Because it's work. And they're willing to go through the pain to be a little bit stronger. And church, I'm asking you tonight, how much pain are you willing to take? How much labor are you willing to put in to be a little stronger? How much do you want it? You know, when you're on that chair at bench and you're trying to push, a lot of times these guys they'll have somebody else there with them to help them, right? And when it gets weak, they'll pick it up again. But they'll be when they think they can't go, they'll be like, "Come on, one more, you got it, come on, one more." And church, that's what I'm trying to do here tonight. That's what our pastor's been trying to do for weeks. And some people aren't at the gym. But for those of you who are, we're just trying to say, you can do one more. You got one more in you. You can do one more set. One more rep. And I'm telling you, church, you can do a little more. You can push a little harder. It's going to hurt. But push a little harder for God. Keep on pushing. Put in the work. Put in the exercise. Exercise is defined as exertion, to practice habitually. hard labor. It takes work to be strong. You got to not just have the right nutrition. You can put the right things in you, but if you don't work, it's almost wasted. You got to put that to work. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's painful. But you can do more than you think you can. And with God as your help, you can put a little more work. Work a little harder. Push a little longer. Why should we be strong? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So what's the... be strong, okay, but what's the importance of all this? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Paul says unto the Corinthian church, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." And church, I'm going to tell you, as much as you want to, you can't stand like God wants you to if you're not strong. We read over there in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God and having done all to stand therefore, to withstand. But it don't matter if you want to stand and you can't. You got to be strong. Our church is counting on you to be strong. People at home, our church is counting on you to be strong. Our children in this church are counting on each person in here to be strong. Our church counts on our families to be strong. My family, my future family is counting on you to be strong. And don't you give up! Why our church is not the way they used to be? There used to be a church like this everywhere. Because people didn't think it was important to be strong. They weren't in this word. They weren't at the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It wasn't a big deal. They could skip Wednesday night and go to soccer practice. They could sleep in on Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, our country is in a mess because Christians refused to be strong. And church, I'm telling you, that I'm counting on you to be strong. Because I don't want to go. I don't want to drive 3 hours to find a good church so that my kids can sing the same songs that I grew up singing. I don't want to be like my dad who has to tell me that the church that I grew up in no longer exists. And that the church your mom grew up in no longer exists. And the church your grandparents grew up in don't believe the same way anymore. How does that happen? They were weak. And church, I'm not trying to be ugly. And I'm not trying to be rude. But I'm just telling you that people are counting on you to be strong. Go back to our text, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 6, Moses says unto them, "Be strong and of a good courage." When I was thinking about that, you know, I immediately thought of having courage. But then my mind, I thought about soldiers and having bravery and all of that, my mind went to the word encourage. And turn to a few chapters back to the beginning of the book, chapter 3. These, although they're separated by almost 30 chapters, these chapter 3 and chapter 31 are in the same time frame. In between, what's in between is the second giving of the law, and so these are almost companion parallel passages at the same time. And Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28, this is God speaking to Moses. He says, "But charge Joshua and encourage him." Encourage him. And that's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm trying to encourage you to be strong. Just as God told Moses to encourage Joshua, I'm telling you to be of good courage. I'm trying to encourage you to be strong and have good courage. Say, how do I do that? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I get such a blessing out of this. 1 Samuel chapter 30. In verse 3, 1 Samuel 30, verse 3, the Bible says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. I think a lot of people in our churches are greatly distressed. Pastor was preaching Sunday about being in distresses but not distressed. Here, David is in distresses and he is distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'm telling you, I see it, I feel it, that we have a host of people in this country and in our churches that are in distresses, and they are distressed just as David was. Say, what do we need to do? You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. How do I do that? Well, I started thinking, how did he do that? I mean, they're wanting to stone him. Turn to Psalm chapter 34 and then get Psalm chapter 42. They come to this city, and the whole city is burned to the ground where all their families were. They're out there trying to fight. And they come to this city, and it's all burned to the ground. I'm sure they saw the smoke from miles away. I'm sure they could smell it as they came up on it. And they're thinking, oh no, what? It can't be. It can't be. And they come to that city, and it's just all burned to the ground. And then they start looking for their family. Like, well, they still got to be here somewhere. So they go and look for their kids and for their wives, for grandma, for grandpa. And they're gone. And they've wept until the Bible says they have no more power to weep. That's some distress. I'm not a crier. I'm not an emotional person. I can't really relate with that. But when you can say that you have no power to weep, it kind of implies that you still want to, but you just can't because you're that sorrowful and distressed. And then on top of that, all these people who are distressed want to stone David. It's your fault. This would have never have happened if it hadn't been for you. And David's had his own family taken away from him. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself. And I was thinking all about this. I was like, how in the world could somebody do that with that much sorrow? And then I thought of Psalm chapter 34. I was like, maybe it went a little bit like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. But David, they want to stone you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. I'm sure he heard some poor men crying. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Don't fear what happened to your family. Fear the Lord, oh ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And just about this time, I imagine, what is these people? They're crying. And they hear a worship service going on over here. What is happening? We're all crying and somebody's over there praising God. I'm going to go see what that's about. And as they walk a little closer, they hear the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Or maybe it went like Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I'm sure he thought that when he's thinking about where his wife's and his children are, and these people are wanting to stone him. God, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Maybe it went a little something like that. Maybe it went like Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And church, I want to encourage you that you encourage yourself in the Lord. Look unto him. Think about him. And I guarantee you, you think long enough about him and praise him long enough, you're going to get a little encouragement. You're going to get a little extra boost to get through whatever you might be going through. Be of good courage. Go back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I have to hurry. The last thing he says unto them in verse 6 is, fear not. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Sweet Springs, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. 62 times in our Bible, the phrase fear not is found. And some might wonder, well, God had not given us a spirit of fear. But then somebody else over here said, well, yeah, but wait. We're supposed to have some fear. And there are, and both are right. There are different kinds of fear. And the kind of fear that he's telling them to not have is not the fear of the Lord. There is a fear that is holy and righteous and good. The Bible says in Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean. Psalm 111, Psalm 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And this is a different kind of fear. This is not the fear I'm talking about. But what the fear I'm talking about is people are afraid of dying. They're afraid of men. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of what they can't control. There's a survey done, and I don't have... There was a survey done every year since 2016 by Chapman University about American fears. Number one on that list is the government. And I might say some of that could be justified. But the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear. And that includes the government. The Bible says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. People are afraid of all kinds of things. You can go down that road and find a phobia for anything. I read them. And I couldn't believe somebody was afraid of that. But these are the fears that consume our society. People are afraid of everything. They're afraid of not having enough money. That was high on the list. Afraid of terrorism, crime, ill happen to their loved ones. People are afraid of everything. Some people might be afraid of a virus. Some people might be afraid of who's in the White House or who's not in the White House. Some people might be afraid of who's next door to them or what might happen. People are afraid of everything. And there is a spirit of fear today. And at the end of that survey, this was the conclusion. They listed like 100 things that people were afraid of in order. At the end of that survey, it said, Americans are more afraid than ever before. And I believe it. And for that reason, you at home, you here tonight, fear not. Fear not. How do we not fear? I don't have time to run all the references, but Psalm chapter 56 tells us that if we trust in the Lord, that can stay our fear. How do I not fear? Trust in the Lord. Psalm 112 says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 12:2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And church, I'm telling you to fear not. And the way for you to do that is you got to trust in God. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. And just in accordance with that, is faith. Faith can solve your fear problem. I think back of Matthew chapter 8 of when the disciples are on the boat and they go and wake Jesus up and say, we perish! And He wakes up and says, why are ye afraid? O ye of little faith. Faith can solve your fear problem. People at home, faith can solve your fear problem. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what you might be afraid of. But if you trust in God and you have faith, that will solve your fear problem. As I was studying, I was listening to a message the pastor preached January of 2019. And I tell you, it's y'all don't understand, but I get to listen to these messages a year and a half later and see what God has been trying to say to us. And it'll knock your socks off. The poignancy of the message ahead of time that God is speaking through our pastor. And he said something profound. I have a whole list of them in my notes app. They happen occasionally. And he said this. He said, nothing is going to pass into your life that God did not approve of. I will say that again because I think somebody needs to hear it. Nothing is going to pass into your life that God did not approve of. You say, well, what's going to happen? How could this happen? God knew about it. Well, I may get the virus. God knows. I may die. God knows. This might happen to me. Anything could happen. I'm afraid of this. God knows. There's a song that says, "Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." And truer words have never been spoken. He's charting the course you'll take, and he sees each hidden snare. Fear not tomorrow. Well, why should we not fear? Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. As I was thinking about why we should not fear, the first thing that came to my mind was Jesus is coming. Why should we not fear? Jesus is coming. Well, I'm afraid of this, but Jesus is coming. What? Look who's going to get elected, but Jesus is coming. I don't know if we're going to have church Sunday. Jesus is coming. I think of the shepherds during the birth of Christ. You know, they're tending their flock. I imagine it's pitch black and all they can see is stars and the moon, and then all of a sudden, bang! Hallelujah! That's what I imagine. And I can just see them, you know, sheep, and oh my goodness! Freaking out. Afraid. What'd they say to him? Fear not. For unto you this day is born a Savior in the city of David. Why should I not be afraid? Jesus is here. Jesus came. I think of the triumphal entry when Jesus is sitting on that ass and he's coming in on and they're spreading the palm branches. And the Bible says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, thy king cometh." And I'm saying, people were afraid of what's going on. This is chaos. And fear not, Jesus is coming. I think over there in Revelation chapter 1, John seeing that vision, and then he sees Jesus. And what did he say? Fear not. I am the first and the last. And church, I want to say, fear not. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you may be afraid of whatever you're afraid of, but Jesus is coming. And if you look unto Him, that'll help your fear. Two more passages and I'm done. Isaiah 43. Why else should we not fear? Isaiah 43 verse 1. "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." I get to thinking about those children of Israel and how they were in Egypt. And they were in bondage. Made to do all sorts of things. And I can imagine that all of them are afraid. And I think about this verse, fear not, Jacob. Fear not. Why? For I've redeemed thee. I can think when they go through that Red Sea, water on each side, Pharaoh's army behind them. I'd imagine fear is mighty strong. But fear not, Jacob. I have called thee by my name. I imagine going around in circles in that desert, wondering which way are we going? What's going to happen to us now? I'm parched of thirst. I'm hungry. There's danger everywhere. But fear not, Jacob. I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, for thou art mine. And then I think about all that, and then I think about us. And then I think about whatever we might be afraid of. And I can hear the Holy Ghost come down and whisper and say, but you don't understand, but I have redeemed thee. The same God that redeemed Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh and delivered Israel through that Red Sea on dry ground, the same God that led those children of Israel through the desert for 40 years, didn't let their shoes wear out, always fed them, gave them water from a rock, the same God that did all that for them and told them not to fear says unto us, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. The same God that put the stars in the space and put the sun right there and the moon over here and the world right here and made it round and made the oceans not come up on the land. The same God that made your body work, that created all the cells and molecular structure in your brain, the same God says unto you, fear not. Why? You don't understand. I have called thee, the God of heaven, the God that created the universe, has called you by His name, and He has redeemed thee. And if you're saved, you're His. He took you out of a sin-filled situation. You were born a sinner, and He says, "Okay, if you trust me, I'll make you mine. I'll put you in my family. Forget about that family. Forget about your drunken daddy. Forget about your drug addict mom. Forget about all the fornication you've done. Forget about this. Forget about that. Forget about the lying, the stealing, everything. I've redeemed thee. And because I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. And so fear not. Fear not." One last text and I'll be through. Isaiah chapter 35. Verse 3, this is what I've tried to do, church. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Your God will come with vengeance. Your God will come. Jesus is coming. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.